And we're working through a series on what God can do through everyday people, people like you and me. And our hope is that at the end of this, you'll have really captured the vision of if we surrender our lives to Christ, what he can do through us as well. So we started off 2 weeks ago when Gareth came and shared about Peter and what God can do when we fail. And then last week we looked at Paul and what God can do with the opposition and how it was written about him. He was the opposition, but yet how it was written about him that yet he was the man, apart from Jesus Christ himself, which shaped the course of Christianity. So and now tonight we've got Yegvan who's going to come up and share about Andrew, the disciple Andrew, and simply what happened when he just brought his friends to Jesus' feet. So Yegvan, if you'd like to come up, we'll pray for you. Oh, sorry. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Yegvan. Lord Jesus, we thank you for his heart for you and his love for you, Lord. We thank you for his faith in you and the way in which he's given his life to serve you, Lord. For the church that he serves out in the Faroe Isles and for his desire to come and share you with us here in Wales tonight, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you'll open our hearts and our ears to hear directly from you through Yegvan tonight, Lord. Amen.
Every day we pass through life connecting with people. What if we all just stopped and looked around?
The Bible tells us about a man named Andrew. Andrew saw a mission opportunity close to home. He went to find his brother and he brought him to meet Jesus.
Your mission field, like Andrew's, is where you live, work, or go to school. It's who you do life with.
Andrew left us an example of how to do personal evangelism. We can all follow his example by reaching the world around us with the love of God.
Andrew spent a whole day with Jesus before reaching out to others. And even though Jesus isn't here in a physical sense, we can speak to him through prayer. And we quickly discover that when we pray, God changes people.
Andrew looked for ways to cultivate friendships with the people in his life. He brought his relative to Jesus, and he brought children to Jesus.
Like Andrew, we can look forward and begin talking with each person we're praying for about attending church and a grand tour event.
Hey, man, how you doing?
We can connect with them at the event. And afterwards, we can look after those that respond to Christ or begin to show an interest in the gospel.
At all times and in all cultures, believers like you can be an Andrew.
I am
Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
I am Andrew.
Will you commit to being an Andrew?
Well, I'm Andrew. And I hope that you will be too. And our calling is to be people who are just on a level with everyone else, sharing what Christ means to us. Andrew in Greek simply means man. An ordinary, simple man who did what he did during the day and shared his relationship with Jesus with the people that he met. And, actually, the sermon was really there, wasn't it? So I can just say thank you very much. It was great to be here. And let me just share with you, as a church, we of course do our own thing, and my church back home in the Faroes, where I'm a pastor, we do a lot of training, and we do all sorts of things to encourage people to come and make their faith serious in the sense that we want to reach people for Christ. It is good, though, to sometimes get inspiration from the outside. Someone else comes in and actually inspires us in a sense that they use different words, they use different stories and different ways to actually encourage us. So in 2015, the Billy Graham Association came to the Faroe Islands. Now, I knew, of course, about Billy Graham and so on, but didn't know so very much about the organization as such. And when I found out that they did not come into our community just to do their own thing, but they really wanted to connect with churches and to strengthen churches and to leave a legacy with the churches before they leave again, then I said, well, when it has to do with evangelism, I want to be a part of that. And I want to encourage my church to be a part of that tour. So I asked them, so what do you want us to do? And they said, well, first of all, we would love if you could encourage your church just to begin to pray. And I said, well, yeah, I think we can do that. So we began to pray. And we actually began to pray specifically, focused, encouraging everyone in the church to pray, of course, for the event. But the event is just one thing. It's one evening, and then they're gone. But actually to say that God has called me to reach out to a family member or a friend that does not yet know Jesus Christ in order to build a relationship with this person, in order to bring them to the event so that they can hear the preaching of the gospel. So we did that. And what happened in our church when people began to pray specifically about those things, the spirit of prayer came over our church. People began to pray like crazy. And they began to see God answer prayer. And we began actually to see people saved even before the Grahams came to the Faroe Islands. Because, you know, this was probably sometime in March or maybe April. And the event was not until June. And people began to say, I don't want to wait until June. Can I just come to your church? And they heard the preaching of the gospel and people were saved. And that's what happens when we begin to commit to say that I will be a person who begins to pray for another person. We are not praying for the whole world. Yeah, we are praying for the whole world. But I cannot on my own reach the whole world. And if I think that I'm called to reach the whole world, I will actually lose hope because I can't do it. And it becomes an excuse for not doing anything. But I can reach one at a time. And that's what I encourage you to think about also. And then I said, well, we are doing that. What else do you want us to do? And then they said, well, we actually have a training course where we help people. One thing to say, will you be an Andrew? Will you begin to share the gospel with non-believers in your family or work colleagues or in your social network? We will also train you how to do it. How do you evangelize? How do you actually share the gospel with someone? How do you listen to their story? And as you listen to their story, you carefully also share your story so that it becomes a relationship. And in his and my story, you begin to share God's story, what God has done in my life and what God can do in this person's life. And I said, well, we would love to be a part of that. So they brought the teaching of that course into our church. And I pastor a rather large church, at least in the Faroe Islands. We have about 600 people in the church. And we had a good number of people who came to the course. And that teaching and the aspect of their teaching that was challenging to us, done by people who didn't know us. You know, sometimes, you know, being there week after week after week is a great challenge of people because you get to know one another. And to get someone new in and just begin to teach something has an impact on you. And the people that were taught how to evangelize, how to share the story of God in my life with other people, after the Grahams had left the Faroe Islands, they were the army that still went out on the streets. They were still the ones who when somebody wanted to get saved, maybe who came forward in my church, those were the people who I could now call on to lead people to Christ. These people that went through that course are today even elders in my church. They are ministry leaders. They are involved in all kinds of different things to share the gospel because they got the confidence, actually, to share the gospel. So it's no more of, well, if you want to get saved, call the pastor. You can do it. You can do it on your own. So that's what happened. People began to pray. People were trained. Another beautiful thing that happened is that the Billy Graham organization spends a long time connecting with churches in the area. I've been here since June last year. 12 days here and the rest home, traveling back and forth every month. And my privilege has been to sit down with a cup of coffee and just share. That's what I did with Clear. That's why I'm here. and to be able to see that churches from all kinds of different backgrounds. You know, it is easy to say that we have unity when everyone is just the same. That's uniformity, isn't it? Unity is challenged in diversity, where people of different ways of worship and even different ways to interpret some passages of the Bible, different culture background, different ethnic background, come together for one thing. That's unity. And what happened in our nation was that we had churches, even though we knew of one another, we really didn't know one another. And we came together to pray together. We came to the training together. We were preparing for the event together. And the unity that remained is still there today. And prayer meeting with pastors and church leaders and people in ministry, whether it's full-time or just people who are volunteering in church, are still coming together to pray. Because we saw that the unity of the church of Jesus Christ, whoever you are, whatever background, there's power in it. So that was the third thing that happened. And the fourth thing that happened is that we got an army of new believers into the church. Nothing is like new believers. They don't speak Christianese. You know, you don't go out on the street and ask somebody if they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because they will think that you are quite brutal. Or how you entered from Egypt to Cana. And so, I'm in Carfini. That's nothing to do with Egypt. You know, people who speak the language of the streets. That's what happened in Acts 2. There were 19 dialects mentioned in that passage in Acts 2. Different dialects, different languages, and the gifting of the Spirit when it came upon the new believers and the apostles was that they went out into the streets and they spoke the languages of the street. In other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, He will give us the ability to go out into the streets, into the workplace, into the people who speak the language that I can't understand. Some of the dialects that you speak here, I really have a hard time understanding. And also to the highest office in the high-rise buildings, you speak their language so that they will understand. And that's what the Spirit does. And it's a beautiful thing. And they came into our church, and they are the ones who go out also to reach others for Jesus Christ. And when they asked me to sometimes be a part of what they are doing in other countries, I said, of course, because I want to share what happened, not only in our church, but also in our nation as a result of what they were doing. And I want to thank you for being a part of what we are doing in this country. We are just coming in for 1 year, one event here in South Wales, and then we're off again. But the joy of connecting with the churches, I want to thank you for that. Because we are not the type of people that just come in and do not work with the local people and just leave again. We want to encourage you. We cannot do it without you. And we want to leave a legacy so that you will be blessed also by us when we leave. And I have made new friends here, people that I have learned to love, new relationships that when I have left, I will still have my friends in South Wales. And that's wonderful. Now, Andrew was a very special character. He was this person that you think, well, he was just normal. And that's right. That's what made it special, that he was normal. Because sometimes we put people up on a pedestal. And when people hear about all the things that they're doing and all the miracles that they were performing and so on, it's like, well, I can never do that. Then that's why it's so important with the stories of the Andrews of the Bible. And there are several of those types in the Bible. But we never hear their story because the other ones are more exciting or whatever. But Andrew, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. There was a relationship there already. And John the Baptist said when Jesus came, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew understood that this person is the person that the Old Testament has been talking about. The Messiah that should come, not only to cover the sin of the people for a year, but to take away the sin of the people for a lifetime. So Andrew said to John, "John, it was great to know you, but I'm going to follow him now." And I think that's a great challenge for pastors and for elders, even for churches. When a person comes to faith, that has been following you and coming to this church, and then seeing something that resonates in his or her heart, and they come to you and say, "I want to thank you for my time here, but the Lord has called me somewhere else." It's a great lesson for us as leaders, to be humble enough to realize that the kingdom of God is larger than my church. I'm a part of something that is much greater, and I want to release people into whatever God calls them to minister for him. So he follows Jesus. He spends a whole day with Jesus. I don't know how many of you have spent a whole day with Jesus. Well, I did my devotions this morning. 5 minutes. All right. Well, it's good to do that every day, to spend time with Jesus. Because I will never be an Andrew if I don't spend time with Jesus. Because that's where the passion for other people comes. Spending time in the presence of Jesus, learning who Jesus is, learning his love for others, learning his commitment to others, actually realizing that he gave his life on the cross to save people. And when I come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and I'm born again and he takes his dwelling within me through the Spirit, that creates in me, it makes something in me that says, as Jesus then loves people, I love people. A person who claims to be a follower of Christ and says, "I don't care about people," I wonder what that relationship with Jesus is. Because when you are in a relationship with Jesus, you become like him and you begin to love people. And that's what happened to Andrew. There are three stories of Andrew in the Bible. Three times he comes kind of a little bit on the stage, so to speak. And every time he's on the stage, it is about him bringing people to Jesus. May that be my story. May I not be known for the great things that I have done or books that I have written or how far I have traveled and so on. May I be known by the fact that he was a person that brought people to Jesus, one by one. It is easy to stand on a platform and speak to hundreds of people every Sunday, or thousands every once in a while. But at home, do I speak to my neighbor? Do I speak to the people on my street? That's what the challenge is many times. So the first thing we hear about Andrew is that when he had spent this time with Jesus, the book of John says, immediately he went to find his brother. It was like, oh, Peter has to meet this guy. Peter has to meet Jesus. So he goes to Peter and he says, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. We have found the one that the Old Testament has been prophesying about. He's here. John introduced me to him, and I introduce you to him. And when Peter met Jesus, the first thing that Jesus said to Peter was, you are Simon, the son of John. Your name shall be Cephas, or Peter. You know, what happens when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you bring a person into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that person begins the development of the change of his name. What is our name? It really has to do with our identity, who we are. And when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is going to change our identity from our selfish identity into finding our identity in him to become like Jesus Christ. You know, Michelangelo, he did the wonderful statue of David standing there in Florence, Italy. And the story is that somebody asked him, how could you take this marble stone and make David out of him? And he answered, well, that was really easy. I just chopped everything away that didn't look like David. And it became David. And that's true in a spiritual sense also, isn't it? How do you become more and more like Jesus Christ? Well, the Spirit that lives within you chops away all the things in our lives that do not look like Jesus. That's how we become more and more like Jesus. And that's what happened to Peter. When we look at his life and his relationship with Jesus, it became a beautiful relationship. He was this, I don't need to preach about Peter again. You heard it already. He was the one that, you know, always was in front of everybody. And he spoke too early and he acted too early. And he kind of messed everything up. But all the things and the themes that he writes about in 1st and 2nd Peter are the things that he failed him in as a disciple during those 3.5 years. Grace and commitment and mercy and love and patience, endurance in suffering, all those themes in the epistles of Peter became Peter when he was touched by the hand of God. You know, do you realize that the people that we lead to Christ, Christ has a plan for them? Andrew might not often be heard of in our sermons or even in the Bible, but Peter is truly known. But we must never forget who led him to Christ. Peter was the one that was the disciple that was in the forefront when the church started. His letters have gone all around the world. His stories are inspiring. We are inspired by Peter. He teaches us how to rise up when we fall. And we look at him, but it's because of Andrew that we look up at him. You might never serve beyond this church, but the people that you lead to Christ might become great, great evangelists. Never give up sharing the love of God with people in your family, whether it's your brother, your sister, your parents, your children, the wider family. Who in your family do you pray for that does not yet know Jesus Christ? That they will come to Jesus, and then you will see them flourish as Jesus changes their character into his likeness. Now, the second time we hear about Andrew is in a parable, or in, not a parable, in a miracle that is the only miracle that is recorded in all the Gospels. And that is when Jesus fed 5,000 men. Now, with the ladies and the children there, there were thousands of people gathered together to hear Jesus preach. And it becomes late, and there's no food. And you know how it is when there's no food. We're in trouble. Somebody said, nobody gets saved on an empty stomach. I don't know whether that is true or not. People were hungry. And Jesus said, well, give them something to eat. And you know the story. Then they hear about this little boy. His mother had probably packed his lunch. And he's brought to Jesus with two fish and five loaves of bread. John 8:8 says, and it was Andrew that came with the boy to Jesus. Andrew saw the potential in what in our eyes seemed so little. Just a lunchbox for all these people? We cannot do that. But Andrew said, well, let's see what Jesus is going to do with this. And he brings the boy to Jesus. And that boy, well, I don't know if he gave it right away. Probably Jesus said, hey, what do you got there? Well, this is my mom made this for me. You want to share? No. Not really. This is mine. Well, Jesus said, well, you want to show, you want me to show you what I can do with it? Okay. And Jesus takes it and he blesses it. And then he organizes the disciples to distribute it. And there was more than enough. I believe that boy went home again that day. And when he came in the door, he ran into the kitchen to tell his mom, you know what happened to my lunch pack? This guy came over to me and he suddenly I was in the front of the main speaker, Jesus. And he took what I had, it looked like nothing, and he actually fed everyone with it. And blessed are those in our churches who see the potential that children have. Blessed are those who work in the schools, who work in the nurseries, who have a heart for young children and knowing that there is potential in these young children that are often forgotten. And they bring them to Jesus because what they have will be a blessing beyond what we can understand. So Andrew brought children to Jesus. And he saw the potential that what they have can be used by Jesus. And being an Andrew today means that I will actually look at people, and maybe not only children, but people who we look at and we think, well, there's not so much potential there. You see, our prejudice steers the way that we look at people and we think, well, he doesn't really have a lot to give. Well, people who see beyond that and know that Christ has brought them into this world and they bear the stamp of the creator of this world in their lives, which means that being created in the image of God, somehow you reflect the character of who the creator of this world is. And when you bring that forth in a person, what you shine of the creator of this world, and you cultivate that in that person, God is going to do great things in that person's life and then through that person's life. Andrew saw that. And blessed are those who see the children. Blessed are those who see those who we think have no potential. We often talk about the things that the people bring and we think we are kind of proud of the big things that we do. And we share our riches and so on. But how about sharing our poverty? How about sharing the things that we are not good at? What seems so simple. I'm really ashamed of this almost. How about having a church meeting where we actually come with our poverty, with our weaknesses, and we share them with one another? And then we say, Creator, Savior, will you take our little lunch pack? What we are ashamed of. Will you take it? We give it to you. Will you bless it? And will you begin to distribute it into our community? There's power in that. Andrew saw that. And then the third time we hear about Andrew is in chapter 12 of John. And there is many people in Jerusalem. And then suddenly we hear about some Greeks come to Philip. And they say, well, could we meet Jesus? Now, Philip doesn't go to Jesus. He goes to Andrew. And Andrew is the one that takes him then to Jesus. And I don't know why. Maybe Philip was, he didn't know what to do with these people. They're foreigners and they don't speak my language. And let me just go to Andrew. He knows how to work with those kind of people. I think Andrew was the warm type that people felt comfortable with. And he was not afraid of cultural differences or different languages or ethnical differences and so on. He didn't look at people like that. He just saw people for people who they are. And then he just went over and said, how are you? You see? And what that teaches us is that Andrew saw beyond his own culture, right? Peter struggled with that. They were brothers, but they were totally different when it came to that. Peter had to go up on a roof in Joppa. He had to fall asleep. And this thing with animals in it had to come down, and God asked him to eat, and Peter said, no, I don't defile myself with such things. And God said to him three times, what I have claimed to be pure, you don't deem impure. And then there was a knock on the door downstairs, and Gentiles asking him to come up to Caesarea, to Cornelius. And he was like, me going into the house of a Gentile? And as he entered the house, the Spirit, after his preaching, the Spirit of God came upon the Gentiles. And that's when he realized and he saw that the gospel is not only for the Jews, it is also for the Gentiles. Andrew didn't have that problem. He didn't have that prejudice. He went to the Greeks and said, hey guys, come on, I will take you to Jesus. And as I walked the streets of Cardiff, I realized that there are not only Welsh people in this country. There are people from all over the world in this country. Andrew had a heart for foreigners. He saw the potential in refugees. He saw the meaning of immigrants coming into this country to work or to go to school for some time before they go home again. He saw the potential in actually reaching out to travelers who are coming through the country on their way somewhere else to reach them for Jesus Christ, to take them to Jesus Christ. Because people who come into this country, whether they're immigrants or refugees or travelers, are deep within their hearts searching. Many of them do not know what they are searching, but Andrew knew what they were searching for, and it took them to Jesus. How many of you are from outside the UK? You are, and you are, and you are. You need to look at your street or your circle of streets and ask yourself, how many foreigners, how many immigrants, how many students from other countries, how many refugees are actually in my neighborhood? You see, we spend a lot of time, energy, and money sending our missionaries, our local people, to different nations to learn their culture, to learn the language, and all the things that concerns that. And it takes years for them to realize, or actually to train before they actually can realize what they are doing. Because it takes such a long time to learn a language and to be accepted by the culture. How about having a strategy for reaching the people that actually are in our country from other countries? Because when the students are finished with their degree, most of them are going home again. Let us reach them while they are in this country so that they meet the Savior in this country and they will go back to their own country. They know the language, they know the culture, they know everything that we don't know. And they go home and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we used to send people to the mission field, but now the mission field has come to our doors. And we need to, as individuals and churches, to be strategically planning how we actually reach those kind of people. So Andrew, he went from his closest family to the ones that seemed not to have any potential, and all the way to people that he didn't know and didn't speak the language, but he knew that I know who I am bringing these people to, and that is Jesus. And therefore, I just want to encourage you to become Andrews, to actually be people who are Andrews. And you can say, I am Andrew. Now, when you commit to do that, have you received the card, I am Andrew cards in this church? Yeah. There's a card that you will take today. And it is about praying for a person. You know who that is already in your mind, I'm sure. That non-Christian that God lays on your heart to pray for. Secondly, I commit to actually begin to share my life with this person to get to know him or her. And then thirdly, I will ask them and invite them to come to the event or to church so that we'll hear the gospel preached. And then when they give their lives to Jesus Christ, I'll be the one walking alongside them in follow-up, to help them into maturity of their Christian walk with Jesus Christ. That is what you're committing to as an Andrew. And I want to challenge you as a church to say, I will pray for this person. I will build a relationship. I will bring him on June 14 to the event. We don't know where it is yet. We lost the ICC and all these different things. But we are going to have it. Whether it's outside or whatever, bring them there. You will know where it will be. Thank you. And then commit also to being a person that says, I will follow this new believer up. Now, we are offering you a course on how to do that. It is called the Christian Life and Witness course. And on your seat, you have the schedule of where these courses are held. We have done two Saturdays already. And I think the closest one to you is Thornhill Church. But, you know, this area, everything is so close. So whatever church fits you best to go to, I want to invite you to come to one of those courses. And those courses are for everyone. They're not only for church leaders or people who minister in the church. Everyone in your church is welcome to come. And because the more people come from this church to the training, the more people you will bring to the event. The more people that are invited from people in this church to come to the event and they become saved, the more new believers come into this church. And this church will grow. If you commit to pray for one person and that person comes to Christ, this church will double in size. And that's what we are called to. And I just want to thank you for giving me the chance and the privilege to be with you tonight. And the Lord bless you and bless this church. Gateway, is that the name of the church? When I was invited and you said Gateway Church, the first thing that came into my mind was Peter in prison. And he was thrown into prison and the angel comes in the middle of the night and sets him free. And the gate opened out all the way out onto the streets. And that's the picture that I saw of this church all the way those months back. That this is the place that opens the prison doors for people who are imprisoned. And may you go out into the streets as a gateway for people who are in prison, to bring them into the freedom of Christ, to become free people. So may I pray for you, and just want to commit this church into the hands of Christ. Jesus, I thank you for Gateway Church. And I thank you that you have called each one of us to be an Andrew, to look at our family, to look at those people who do not seem to have any potential, to bring children up into the likeness of Christ, and to reach out to foreigners who don't speak my language, who do not share my color of skin, who do not understand my culture or me theirs. And I pray that you will just challenge this church to be a church that reaches out. And I thank you that they are already doing that. And I want to bless them as they do that. And I also pray for the believers in their fellowship as believers, that they will encourage one another, that they will bless one another, that you will bless this family and create in them great unity and with the other churches in this area. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Okay, as the worship band come back up, we'll just do one more song to end. But I hope that as you listen to Yegvan talking, you just captured that vision of our church being filled with the people, our friends, our family, those we love, those we long to see know him. We can do that, can't we, if we commit to be like Andrew, each and every one of us. That's how those people are going to come into this church if we invite them in. Okay.